Number 509 in your hymnals this evening, Hymn of Testimony, Saved, Saved by His Power Divine. 509. Refrain this evening as we sing. It may be at morn, it may be at noon, but Christ will be returning. 290, Christ returneth. Shall we stand, please, as we sing?
Oh,
earthly song. You may be seated.
He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You think about it, much of the Christian life, the blessings of it, is yet to come. And we are a people looking toward the future, and that changes everything about our present as we look to see what the Lord will complete. We want to welcome you to our service this evening, especially those of you who are visiting with us. We hope that you'll find the presence of the Lord here and God's people will minister to you in a special way. If you will please do us the favor of filling out a visitor's card, you'll find one in the back of the pew in front of you. Then drop that in the offering plate as the offering plates come by later. That'll give us a record of your visit and give us a chance, we hope, to get to know you better. Our memory verses for this month are in Psalm 46, Psalm 46, 10 and 11. Because of who God is, we know that he will fulfill his promises. One day he will be exalted in all the earth, and these verses are about that day. We will say the reference together, and then the verses, and then the reference again. We'll leave off the last word of verse 11, Selah, and that basically means think about it or pause, but it's more of a marking, and so we'll leave that off since it's still in Hebrew, untranslated. We'll do the rest of the verse. Okay, all together now, Psalm 46, 10 and 11. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 46, 10 and 11.
The deacons will have a short meeting right after the service in the conference room. Remind all deacons of that. This Wednesday night is our last Wednesday night Sunday school for the summer. And hope you can be here and join in on this. Some of you do not regularly come to Sunday school. We invite you to come this Wednesday. Remember to be somebody at the reception desk to guide you to the right class. Or if you just want to come into the class that meets here in the auditorium, you can do that. This is a study on prayer. And this will be that final study this Wednesday evening. The time is at 7:30. And a week from Wednesday night is our ice cream fellowship. There's a place to sign up out at in the reception area for you to bring some homemade ice cream. Not many of you have signed up as yet. We hope many of you will, and we'll look forward to that time of fellowship together. And that will be at 7 o'clock that evening, since the days are getting a little shorter. It'll be 7 o'clock 1 week from this Wednesday. This is the week we are to get our new organ installed, and we're looking forward to having that. We're going to have a special dedication service on the first Sunday in September, September the 2nd. It'll be a very special service. I hope you'll plan to be here for it. The steel is to arrive for our activity center this week and probably will begin to be installed. And we are glad for the work that's being done. And we look forward to the funds that are going to be provided for this, that we can finish the job, go right through and complete it, not have to stop and wait a long time. Just how the Lord is going to do it, we don't know that as yet. We're going to do it through us. We know that much of it. But keep praying. Keep seeking what the Lord would have you to do. Keep trusting him to provide this need. Of course, we have our regular budget needs. And since we had an increase in our operating and in our missions in the new budget, that took away from the capital improvement in the month of July. That's a very normal thing for that to happen. Just because we increase the budget doesn't mean we have an increase in income ourselves or we have an increase in our giving. So it takes a while to adjust to this new budget. But do the best you can. The Lord will bless you for it and the Lord will bless our ministry for it. Other announcements that I would ask you to give attention to. Ralph Payne had a liver biopsy. He won't know the results of this until tomorrow, but we're asked to pray for God's will in this matter. Trudy Fremont's 95-year-old mother, Hazel Reed, passed away this morning. Trudy doesn't know at this time whether she'll be able to go to the funeral. She can only be away for one day, and it will depend on the arrangements that can be made. funeral will be on Wednesday, so pray about that situation and pray for Trudy and her family in this time of her mother's homegoing. Esther Brown had a seizure this morning, was taken to Greenville Memorial Hospital. Haven't had a further report on that, so I don't know what her condition is. Bonnie Eberlein, still in Greenville Memorial. And it's been suggested that some of the ladies might like to go by and read to her. She is in a subacute room, but I think they've said that if there's not any procedures going on with her or her roommate, that somebody could come and read the Bible or read something else to her. So if any of your ladies would be interested in doing that for a few minutes, you can leave your name at the reception desk and your telephone number, and somebody will get in touch with you about that. But continue to pray for Bonnie in her very serious condition. She is not getting better, she is getting worse as the days go by. We're glad that Mary Catherine Poulias has now been discharged from the hospital, and she has returned to her apartment on the Bob Jones University campus. She's still very weak and needs our prayers for her continued recovery. Nathaniel Clayton is still in Allen Bennett Hospital. Diane Payden had cancer surgery on Friday. She's at St. Francis. Please remember Diane and her family. Pete Stevenson's brother Jack had a heart attack. This is the second one he had. He lives out in California. Bruce Higgs had a heart catheterization and angioplasty. He plans to go back to work tomorrow. Harriet Williams was in the hospital for a day or two. She's out, hopes to return to work tomorrow. So let's remember these folks in our prayers, and there are others as well for whom I know we want to pray. And let's pray for our time here tonight. This would be a special blessing from the Lord as we have the opportunity of gathering together for this service. We'll ask the ushers to come, get in place to receive your offering, and then Pastor Lehman will lead us in our prayer.
Lord, I thank you that we have been privileged to be here today. Thank you for your working in the midst of our congregation this morning. How you have provided the grace in the time of need. Now we ask that you continue to sustain each and all needs that are presented here. Lord, I thank you that you have been so faithful. The God of all the universe, lowering himself to die for us. And such lowly people that we are, and such wicked people that we are, you've loved us enough to forgive us, to give us the privilege of living eternally with you. Help us not to get so caught up, though, in the world and the day-to-day activities that surround us that we forget about the glorious future that lies before us. The difficulties that we go through today and this next week and this next month and until you return to claim us are just a small, insignificant amount of time in comparison. Help us to focus on you, the glory of eternity, the wonder of heaven, the joy that we will have of seeing loved ones and friends that have already gone home to be with you. We pray for those even now that have had loved ones go home. They're at rest, they're at peace, but the family members that are here are hurting because of the love that they've shared with them. And so I pray you'd continue to be with these families and bless in a manner in which only you can. Continue to encourage, continue to give opportunities to recognize how you are working, even following the homegoing of a loved one. Think of these that are ill, some that have been ill for quite some time, some that perhaps even in the doctor's perspective, will never leave the hospital room. And yet you can allow them to minister even there and to be effective, to be saints of yours. And I ask that you give them that strength to do that. Those that are home, that are recovering, those that are going through rehabilitation, or there's just so many areas of need. And I just thank you that you're able to meet each one specifically. You know who to direct which areas of comfort and healing and guidance and direction. So I pray that this evening you would do that as well. As your message is preached here, We would allow your Holy Spirit to work, and we look forward to how you're going to do that. Pray you'd bless as we continue in the focus of singing, as your messenger brings forth your word, that we would certainly rejoice in this time together, and then may our lives be different. May we continue to serve and be even much better in our glorying in you. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Once again, I'm grateful for all of the folks who have had a part in the music ministry throughout the day, the preaching of the Word. It's been a good day, and we're looking forward to the faithful preaching of the Word of God tonight once again. I want to say thank you to the String Group for their beautiful offertory, to Dawn Barrier for her help with the choir, playing the oboe with us, and for the choir for their ministry to us tonight. Let's take our hymnals once again. We're going to turn to 458. 458, Gospel Song of Testimony, Now I Belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for just time, but for eternity. 458, shall we stand once again, please? Would you be seated?
For those listening by way of radio, this service comes to you from Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In just a moment, Dick Knox will be bringing us a message in song. Before he does so, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do pray that this evening you would glorify yourself, that you would be lifted up, not only in this service, but in our heart of hearts, that we might be stirred to love you more and to obey you better. We pray that because of the time we've spent here this evening, we might be better fitted for service. We might be closer drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. We might take that step, one step closer to Christ-likeness. And Lord, we look forward to that day that we shall see you face to face. May we have a foretaste of that glory divine, even this evening. For the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
I sing of the love of my Father, who chose me, I cannot tell why. He might have condemned me, but rather He sent His beloved to die. Oh, wonderful, wonderful love of my God, redeeming my soul at the cost of His blood. I cannot conceive it, but oh, I believe it, this wonderful love of my God. I sing of the love of my Savior, who left heaven's glory to be a ransom for sin, that God's favor might justly be given to me. Oh, wonderful, wonderful love of my God, redeeming my soul at the cost of His blood. I cannot conceive it, but oh, I believe it, this wonderful love of my God. I sing of God's love, oh, receive it. God loves the whole world, He loves you. For you, Jesus died. Oh, believe it. This wonderful love is for you. Oh, wonderful, wonderful love of my God, redeeming my soul at the cost of His blood. I cannot conceive it, but oh, I believe it, this wonderful love of my God.
This evening we have a particular privilege to share with you some of the things that happened on our missions trip to New York City week before last. We have some folks who are going to give testimonies. All of them are very nervous, but they're not going to talk to you about that. And none of them have much time, and they're not going to talk to you about that. But they're going to do their best to try to share their heart with you about what God did for them and what God used them to do while they were in New York City. On their behalf, and we had about 60 people from our church who went on this trip, I would like to thank all of you who prayed and who gave so that we could go. I believe that this, for many of our people, is the most dynamic outreach experience they've ever had. And I'm very thankful for that. At some point in all of our meetings as we prepared to go through the months leading up to July 21st, we said over and over again, our purpose, our first purpose, is that we would be changed forever in such a way that we can never be like we used to be with reference to outreach. And I believe God worked in our hearts. Now, we know we can come back and go back to be the way we were. We don't want that. And so I pray that you'll continue to pray for us, that we won't be the same, that this group of people would be different enough, and that the imprint of this trip would be deep enough that we might be the beginning of a real change in terms of outreach in our community right here. And so we appreciate all you did for us. Many of our teams that go out from the church are primarily service-oriented, construction or whatever, and this team is specifically evangelistic in its intent and purpose. And so for that reason, we get to have a little extra time, I guess, with these testimonies tonight. So we'll begin, and we have even a little surprise right at the end, perhaps. We'll see how that works out. But first person who's going to come is Rebecca Hood, and she may talk to you about some good things that happened to her before she ever got to New York City.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Hood, as Pastor often said, and I went to New York again this summer for my second time, and I enjoyed it so much. It's just the most awesome thing to get to go there, and words just really can't express the impact that this trip has had on my life. God just taught me so many things, and I really have a completely different perspective on witnessing, and my eyes were just really open to the great need of people who really, that just need to hear the gospel. And I would just look around at the people there, and they just seemed so unhappy and just this hard look on their face. And I went to New York to tell them about Jesus. But you know what? While I was there, God worked in my life, and He changed me. And He just used different things on the trip to mold me and just make me to become more like Him. And through it all, my faith was strengthened. And while on the flight to New York, I sat next to this Indian guy, and my sister was on the other side of me. And all three of us were just sitting there. We weren't really saying anything. So my sister nudged me, and she said, "Becca, you should try and talk to that guy." And I looked over at him, and I said, "I don't want to." So she didn't say anything else, and I just sat there. And I knew I should talk to him. I was just sitting there doing nothing, but I just didn't want to. So I just sat there, and I was thinking about whether I should say something and what would I say. And he just turns to me, and he says, you know, "Hi," and he introduces himself, and he says, "What brings you to New York?" And so I said, "Oh, wow, here I'm sitting here thinking of what to say," and God just opens it up, and He opens the door for me to tell Him about my trip and tell Him about the Lord. So I briefly told Him that we were going into the parks and witnessing to people on the park benches, and He was like, "Oh, well, that's really neat." And so I reached into my bag, and he just seemed so interested, so I got out the survey that we use in one of the tracks, and I said, "Well, can I show you what we do?" And he said, "Yeah, I'd really like that." So I started going through the survey, showing him what we do, and I got to one of the last questions, and it says, "If you were to die today and go to heaven, do you know for sure you would go to heaven?" And so I asked him that, and he said, "You know, I really don't know." And I said, "Well, can I show you how you can know for sure you go to heaven if you die?" He said, "Yeah, I'd like that." So I started going through the track, and he just was so open and just really interested in what I was saying. And I got to go through the entire track with him and share the gospel. And at the end, I showed him the prayer, and I said, "Would you like to do this?" And I read the prayer, and he read along with me, and it talked about, you know, just believing that you're a sinner and asking God to forgive you and come into your heart and save you. And he said, his tears just came to his eyes, and he said, "That's what I'd like to do." And he told me, he said, "You know, I've been involved in Buddhism lately." And he goes, "And I don't want to bother with that anymore." He goes, "This is what I want." And so he prayed right there, and he just talked to God, and he asked Him to come into his heart and save him right there on the plane. And I was just so happy because, you know, here I was sitting there thinking about not talking to Him, but yet I was being stubborn, and God still used me to tell Him about the Lord. So, and he got saved too. And I told him about some free Bible lessons that he could do and recommended that he start reading in the book of John to, you know, learn more about the Bible and grow closer to God. And so he said, "Oh, I definitely will do that." And he told me he had a Bible. And so right away, I could just see an immediate change in him. And he told me, he got this big smile on his face, and he said, "Thank you." He goes, "This is what I've been searching for." And he goes, "And I just feel so happy now." And I'm just so thankful that I was able to go on this trip. And it just really changed my life. And I tell you, there's nothing greater than getting to tell others about the Lord.
When our family decided, Dave and I decided we ought to go on this trip, we were excited because we had 7 of our grandchildren going also. Our first Sunday there, we were in Spanish Harlem, and it was hot, it was smelly, and I remember standing there on the corner because I was going to the prayer station, which is a very exciting thing, having the people to come, and we would pray with them, and our granddaughter Sarah was handing out the flyers, and then they would come, and I thought, oh, I wish I could be at Hampton Park today. The music would be so good, the preaching would be good. They're our friends. And then it's just the Holy Spirit said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. But here's a world of people dying, have never heard one time. And you want to be in the comfort. And now you're out of your comfort zone. So I just in my heart, I prayed, oh Lord, help me to see these people as you see them, as you love them. One of the first ladies that came to me was the one who, her tears were flowing. She said, I'm trying so hard to get off drugs. I know I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And I was able to give her scripture and pray with her and show her. And then we enrolled her in a Bible study course. Then I saw this man and woman, an elderly couple. And I said, could I pray with you? Do you have a need? And he said, yes, my wife has breast cancer. And I said, oh, I'd love to pray with you about that because I've had breast cancer. And he said, but you're living. And I said, yes, we live with breast cancer. I went through the plan of salvation. And she said, oh, I do want to go to heaven. And I said, all we need to do is, and I told her how to pray the prayer. And he said, now, come on, we can go. A priest can help us through this. I still pray for her. But as I saw others, my heart just broke because I had been so reticent to give the word. The next day I really prayed, Lord, I want to be your servant, and I don't care what you have me to do. I don't care where you want me to go. I want to be your servant. If you want me to plant, that'll be great. If you want me to water, that's all right. If you would use me for an increase. That day, our grandson Jonathan and I went together. We had presented very clearly the gospel to 2 people. They had not accepted the Lord. We're walking through the park, and I said to Jonathan, well, Jonathan, let's just see where we can find someone. And Jonathan said, Mama, what about that man over there? And we went over. And he said, yes, get something full up to talk with me. So Jonathan and I both went through the plan of salvation. Well, we actually gave talks a long time first to him. And then Jonathan did more talking than I did, actually. And so then I asked him, Lamar, wouldn't you really like to accept Christ? He said, oh, yes, I would. And I said, well, let Jonathan pray, and then you pray after him. And so Jonathan did. He was so excited about coming to the Lord. He just reached over and grabbed Jonathan and hugged him and hugged him and hugged him. And then he reached over and hugged me, and I said, you know, the exciting thing is, Lamar, that we're all in the same family now. He was Afro-American, very fine young man. We left him with a New Testament, and we came back by later, and Jonathan said, look, Mama, he's reading it. Then a whole gang of our people came going to lunch. We took them all over. We said, we want you to meet our new family member today. There's the other stories we could tell you about, but what a thrill. And I just pray that I will see the people in Greenville with needy hearts.
My name is Alex Q, and this is the first year that I've gone on the New York trip, and the Lord has used it to show me just so many things about how my life needs to change and how much more compassion I need to have on people, and he's just taught me so many things about him through this trip. But 2 things really, really stand out when I think back on it, and the first one is actually before the actual trip. When I signed up, I knew that I would not be able to afford the trip because it is way more money than I could ever get. And I just prayed that God would provide the money and that he would bring it in a way that I knew that it was totally him and not anything that I did. And at first I was really excited about how he's going to bring it in, but then as the time went by and the money wasn't coming in, I was like, okay. I was getting really, really nervous, and I was wondering whether the Lord really wanted me to go on this trip or if he had something else for me. And the time went by, and there was only 1 week left for me to get the money in, and there was absolutely nothing left that I could do. And it was just, I had to totally rely on the Lord. And that's when he chose to bring the money in. I called the church office one day, and the money was just there. And I was so excited about how the Lord brought that in, so that was really neat. And one of the other things that really stick out in my mind when I think back on the trip is how he used me, even though I mess up and I get confused when I try to give his message across to the other people. And that was a point that the speaker that spoke on Saturday night, that was one of his points, how God chooses to use us because he wants to grow closer to us, and he wants us to just love him more because he chooses to use us even though we mess up. And the next day I was at a prayer station, and I chose to pass out flyers so I didn't have to talk to very many people. But as I'd give them a flyer, they would stop and ask me questions. And I was, like, getting really confused. And, I mean, I knew how to answer the questions, but it just wasn't coming to me. And so I was getting really, really frustrated that I couldn't answer their questions and that they weren't accepting what I did have to tell them. So I pulled my friend Brianna aside, and I asked her to just pray with me that I'd get calmed down and that I wouldn't be frustrated and that the Lord would just encourage me. And she did that with me, and she also prayed that the Lord would send me someone that I could lead to the Lord. And this was the first day, and I didn't even think about leading someone to the Lord. I was just happy to, like, pass out flyers. But 5 minutes after we prayed, this lady comes up, and she was just so ready to accept Christ. And I went through the outline, and the Lord gave me the words to say, and she accepted Christ right there on the street, and I thought that was the most exciting thing, how God chose to use me and to show me how he can use me even though I would mess up.
My name is Brianne Haskett, and this is the first year that I had gotten to go to New York, and it is just an awesome experience. I encourage you, if you have any chance next year to go, that you would take it because it will totally change your life. I'm very thankful that I had the opportunity to go to New York. In the first couple of days when we were out in the parks, I was a little choosy in who I would go up to. I wouldn't just go down the line and go to everybody and tell them the gospel. I would pick people. And throughout the week, the Lord showed me that everyone deserved to hear the gospel, not just the people that I chose. And it really changed my outlook on people. And now when I see people, I don't look at them and look at their outward appearance, but I look at them with a soul and wonder where they are going to spend their eternity. And I want to share with them the gospel. Another blessing that I received was while I was handing out flyers in the prayer station and witnessing in the parks, I would occasionally get very discouraged because people wouldn't take the flyers or they didn't want to hear what you had to say. They would often turn you down with no regrets at all. And I was to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. And every time that I was where I thought I just wanted to go back home, the Lord would always send a Christian my way to encourage me. One example of this was Thursday. My cord was in Central Park, and this was the last day that we were in that we would be able to witness. And I hadn't been able to lead anybody to the Lord, and I was very discouraged. Nobody had wanted to talk to me that day, and they were all just like, no, I don't have time. So I started to pray and ask the Lord to send me someone that I could at least just go through the survey with. We were back on our way back to the meet everybody else, and I saw a lady sitting on the bench all by herself, and so my partner told me to go and talk to her, so I did. So we were going through the survey, and I sat down and talked to her, and I asked her, I said, I got down the last question, and I said, if you were to die today and you were to stand before God and he would ask you, why should I let you in my heaven, what would you say? And she said, Jesus Christ. And I was kind of shocked, and she said, that was the right answer. And in New York, you just don't run across people that know for sure that they're going to heaven and they have Jesus in their heart And so after I talked to her for a few minutes, she said that she was very glad that we were out in the parks giving out the gospel. And I'm thankful that the Lord led me to her. And even though she didn't know that she was an encouragement to me and she was an answer to my prayer, she just really encouraged me and it really helped.
Are you a preacher? That question was asked me as I sat on a bench in Central Park, and I learned a great lesson from it. My name is Gary Wheeler, and I had the privilege of going with my wife and four of my daughters to the New York trip. And I paid my way, I paid my wife's way, I paid most of my kids' way. Men for Missions helped, and some other people helped, and I appreciate that. And I had a lot of confidence and a lot of cockiness when I went there, that I had been to 4 years of college and 3 years of grad school, and I guess I was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And I was going to show them how it was done. But it wasn't working out for me. And I was getting a lot of rejection, a lot of no's. I was discouraged. And I look over at my wife and children, and they were going great guns. One of them would come back, and they'd say, I led three people to the Lord today, Dad. And the other one, two of them had that story. And another one said that she approached a man, and he was going to commit suicide, and she led him to the Lord. And, man, this was so exciting. But it just showed my weakness all the more by contrast. And I was just struggling. And finally, on Wednesday, I just sat down on a bench in Central Park and I said, Lord, I can't do this. I'm not capable. Excuse me. If you need to take over. Well, a few minutes later, a man walked by and I guess he saw the cross on my book. And he goes, are you a preacher? I go, no, but I'd be glad to talk with you. And he sat down and told me his story. And then I gave him the gospel, and he accepted Jesus Christ. And he was so happy when that was over, and he was so excited. And it just taught me a great lesson to let the Lord do the work and not try to do it in our own strength and our own might. And y'all pray for me that I can remember that lesson. And I guess when we let the Lord talk through us, we can all be preachers.
I'm Debbie Wheeler, and it was a real thrill to be able to go to New York with my family. I prayed really hard that the Lord would not just give me boldness in New York, but I've been praying for a while that the Lord would just give me boldness to tell people about Jesus. And I'm not very bold, but New York taught me an awful lot. I prayed hard that the Lord would let me see people with a compassionate heart, not to see what they look like on the outside. And he answered my prayer. I get so nervous. I was able to lead four people to the Lord during that week. And I was able to tell a lot of people about the Lord during that week. And the Lord really worked in my heart. He worked in my life. And he changed me. And I hope I'll always be changed. As I was thinking about what I was going to talk about, I have so many things I wanted to tell you about, and it changed on the front seat. On Monday, we were in a prayer station. I didn't know exactly what to expect. Never been to a prayer station. But I stood there, and I was handing out flyers, and there were so many people going by, and they don't meet your eyes. They look at the ground. It's like they don't want to have any personal contact, it seems like. And I was handing out flyers, and every so often I'd see somebody take a flyer and make a beeline to one of those people with the red aprons on. I was wearing a red apron that says prayer changes things, too. I forgot I was wearing that. But as I handed out this flyer, a girl came to me, a young woman, and she said, would you please pray with me? And I said, sure, what can I help you with? What would you like to pray about? And she told me how that she had come to New York in March for a vacation to visit family. And while she was there, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, it sounded like, her 7-year-old daughter had been taken away. The DSS had come in from a report that was called in, and they had come and taken her 7-year-old daughter away, and she is still in New York, waiting for a hearing in September, trying to get her daughter back. And so we prayed, and I said, yeah, I'd love to pray for you. What's your daughter's name? And she said, her name's Audrey. And I said, well, what's your name? Because I thought she told me her name was Audrey. She said, Audrey. And I said, oh, isn't that something? My name's Debbie, and my daughter over there, her name's Debbie. That's so unusual. You don't hear that very often. And she just lit up. She said, well, it's a family tradition, but that's really neat that your daughter's name is that too. So we prayed, and when we got done praying, I started talking to her. And she had been going to church, and as I went through the questions, not really doing the questionnaire, but just asking her questions, she knew verses, and she went to church, but she didn't know for sure that she was going to heaven. And she was just hoping that she could be good enough to go to heaven. And so I told her that I could tell her, and I could show her in the Bible how she could know for sure that she was going to heaven. And I asked her if she'd like to know that, and she said, oh, I would. And I went through the verses, and I told her that we're all sinners, and she said, oh, yes. And she told me how she knew she was a sinner. And she'd had that little girl out of wedlock 7 years before. And she was suffering from that. And I said, you know, you ask forgiveness for that, and it's all gone. If you ask Jesus to forgive your sins, they're as far as the east is from the west. They are no more. And she just lit up. And I went through the whole plan of salvation. I asked her if she'd like to pray, and she said yes. And she prayed. And she just, it was such a, it's so exciting to hear someone pray and just mean it from their heart. And she was so thrilled that she had met me that day, and that she'd gotten to get saved, that she'd learned from the Bible how to be saved. And I said, do you have any questions when we got done? And she looked at me and she said, yes. Could I come and do this too? Could I hand out flyers so that someone else can tell somebody else how to be saved? I said, well, I don't think anybody's ever asked that question before, but I'll go ask. And so I asked, and she was going to come back if she could. She had to babysit for her little sister, and I didn't see her because we left a little early that day because it was so hot. But it was just exciting to see that she was so excited. We had the little wordless book bracelets, the little colored beads, and I gave her one and showed her how to use it, and she asked for 4 more because she said, if I can't come back, there's 4 kids that I'm going to be taking care of this afternoon, and I want to tell every one of them how to know that they're going to heaven. So I'm just grateful for your prayers because it was a life-changing experience, and I just encourage all of you to tell others because they're just waiting to hear.
Hi, my name is Tim Hall, and this is the first time I got to go to New York. I didn't have the opportunity last year. Pastor Austin called me, and he told me, you know, I need you to give a testimony. I told him I was all right, and I know I was supposed to tell how this trip affected me, but I want to share with you a story about how this trip changed me. I met a man up there. His name was Sherman Strickland, and Sherman had no home. The same day that I met this man, Pastor Austin had given a message about not only giving the gospel to people who look like me, who are, you know, decently dressed and look like they have something, but also to give it to the people who are down and out, people who have nothing. Sherman was one of those guys. You see, Sherman had no home, he had very little money, and what's worst of all, he had no hope. I got to go through the diagnostic questionnaire with him, all the questions, and I came to the last one and it said, what would you say to God if you're standing before him and he would say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? And he looked at me and he said, God wouldn't let me in. I'm not good enough to get in. I've done nothing. And that really got me because everyone else had been like works. You know, I've done good things, but he knew he wasn't going to heaven at all. I got to go through the track with him and share the gospel with him. And the best thing was, God used me as his instrument in giving Sherman a home. Because you see, no matter what else happens on this earth to Sherman, he will always have a home in heaven because he received Christ that day as his Savior. And the biggest thing that kind of caught me was is that God forgives all. It doesn't matter what you do, God forgives all.
Kelly Riggs is coming, and if somebody talks to him on his squawk box while he's talking, you'll forgive him for that, I'm sure.
I'll turn it off. Barry, they can wait, hopefully. When it kind of became a decision for us to go to New York, I basically had listened to Dan Herlickson, who actually gave a testimony last year, that kind of made me think, you know, you go on mission trips, but take your family. And for those of you who sent your kids, you really missed out. Watching your kids grow is probably one of the most awesome things that I think you can see through the week. As you watch your kids for the first couple of days being a little bit timid, you realize you're actually more timid than they are. But they really don't say anything for the first day or two, and you can just see the gradual growth in their walk with God and the courage that God gives them because they understand it. The worst a person can do is say, no, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I know one of my kids said that they were afraid, they didn't want to go to New York. They really didn't understand how afraid I was of going to New York. We went up there. No one was robbed. No one was mugged. It was actually kind of a boring week on my part. I'd like to say that was because of me being there, but it had nothing to do with it. It was the Lord really gave us grace to do what we were able to do. I'd listened to people talk, and they said, if you go into the subways, it's a hard place to work. You don't want to go there. It's hot. Well, our first day, we went into the subway. It was hot. We set up a prayer station. Said prayer stations aren't fun to work. It was for me. I got to watch my kids hand out the flyers that people were coming in, tell them there's a prayer station ahead as they came to the prayer stations, which wasn't very often. A lot of people, you'd see them crumble the flyer up and throw it down on the ground, tear the tracks up, throw them down. And there was one individual who came. It really stuck out. Well, there was actually two individuals the first day we were there. We were in the Port Authority substation below Times Square. And the first guy that came to me was a Polish guy. I'd been in the United States for 8 years. And I started talking to him. And I probably talked with him for about an hour because he kept trying to complicate God's Word. And I just kept telling him it's not complicated and just trying to explain how simple it was to him. And I don't really think I could have talked to people the way I did without the simple instructions that Pastor Austin spent so much time drilling into us. You have to memorize this. You have to learn this. It's like I told him, I fought this till about the last 3 weeks, but then he said, you got to sign a statement that says you memorized this for you to go on the trip. Well, I didn't want to lie about what I was doing, so I memorized it. And when we got there, it was interesting to see how the Lord took what I didn't want to use, and he used it to glorify his name. And I got to talk to this Polish guy. He said, I got to go. He said, will you be here in an hour when I come back? And I said, yeah, I'll hang around. I'll make sure I stay here. And while he was gone, my wife and my kids, they went to lunch. I stood there, and another guy came up. Actually, my daughter was still back. She was still handing out flyers, speaking in Spanish. I couldn't understand what she was saying. But she was handing out flyers, and this young guy came up to me and he was kind of looking. He said, what are you doing there? I said, it's a prayer station. And he said, but what are you doing? I said, well, it's people who want to pray with us. You know, we'd like to pray with them. Hopefully we can, you know, help you out the best we can. He said, what do you get out of it? And I said, nothing. And he said, you don't get anything out of this. I said, no, sir, it's just a chance to pray with people to try to give direction to them. And he said, well, I've never seen anything like this before. He said, do you mind if I take a picture of you? I hate getting my picture taken. I said, sure. And my daughter was standing behind me. She had this red smock on with the praying hands on it. We have a table there that says prayer station on it. And he got back and he took a picture of it. And he said, I've never seen anything like this before. And I went straight into the two diagnostic questions about if he knew for sure he's going to heaven and where, if God were to ask him, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? And he said, I can't answer that. And I got to go through these little tracks. It's probably the most awesome tool that I've ever used. And I got to go through this track with him. And he listened real intently, and I got to the end of it. And I said, would you like to receive this free gift? And he said, yeah, I would. And I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah. And there's four parts to the end of this. And with the guideline that we went by, it's about transferring trust, receiving Christ as your Savior, receiving Christ as your Lord, and repentance. And I got through all four of those points because I remember Pastor Dodd explaining to us in one of the classes. He said, I sell cars for a living. I stay away from all the negatives. He said, you're not selling Christ. You're presenting the gospel. He said, you want to make sure when they make a decision that it's from their heart, because you don't want them walking away from here saying, I've prayed this prayer 100 times and I'm not getting any peace. He said, you want peace. And I got to talk to this kid. I got to repent. And he said, does this mean I have to leave my girlfriend? And I said, have you ever thought about getting married? And he said, well, I'd like to. He said, I don't have enough money for that. And I said, okay, let's go back to the part about receiving Christ as your Lord. And we stepped back, and he said he understood that. Went through it again, and I said, is this something you'd like to receive? And he said, yeah, I would. I said, I want to make sure that you understand this. And I went through the four points again. And he said, I'd like to pray. So we stepped back. We prayed. He accepted Christ as a Savior. And he said, this is really something. And I said, it really is. And he said, man, I feel really good inside. And I said, well, the feeling won't always be there. I said, I'll tell you up front about it. But I said, at least now when times are bad, at least you have someone to fall back to who will direct you through the rest of your life. And he said, you know something? He said, I'd like to take this back where I came from and translate this. And I said, where are you from? He said, Egypt. I said, where in Egypt? He said, Cairo. And I said, what do you do? And he said, I'm a medical student. But he said, I would like to translate this, he said, because this is something my people need. And it went back to several things. I'd like to stay up here for a long time. I don't think Pastor Austin would let me. There was one other one, though. Can I? Just one. Sorry. There was one other one, though, I got to talk to at the end of the... was the last one at the end of the week. Was actually the last person I spoke to. It was a young 19-year-old kid. And I got to lead him to the Lord. And we got to the end, and I asked him if he would like to accept this free gift. And he said, yes, I would. But he said, I'd like to think about it. And I said, can I explain something to you? And I said, I'm a police officer. And this is a 19-year-old young black male. I went through it, and I said, you know, I said, I'm a police officer. And he just, real quiet guy, and he said, okay. And I said, I'd like to explain to you about something that happened about 2 weeks ago. And I explained to him about a kid that I watched die at my feet about 2 weeks ago after he'd been shot in the back. And I said, you know, Bernard, I said, you don't know if you walk across the street today or whatever, that you'll never make it to the other side. Your heart could stop. You don't know. I said, God only knows when our appointment with death is. And he got real quiet. And I said, if I could hold you on the ground and beat this into you, I would. I said, but it's not something I can do. It's something that God does in your heart. And I said, and that's where the acceptance has to be. Otherwise, it's for nothing. And he just got real quiet. And he said, you know, I'd like to pray. And I said, well, I'd like to pray with you. What do you want to pray about? And he said, I don't know for sure where I'd die. He said, I'd like to make it sure right now. This trip was awesome. I can't say any other word. It's the only word I know how to use for it. I watched it change my family. Obviously, it had a major impact in my life. I'd definitely do it again, but it's like I told my family, I wouldn't go back next year unless it changed us between now and then, because it's, you all invested money in my family, and I very much appreciate that.
Thank the Lord for these testimonies. I trust they've been a blessing to you. Many others could share their experiences as well. And while it was a great joy to have the opportunity to lead people to Christ, some of our best lessons were learned, I believe, at least as far as I'm concerned, when there were those who rejected what we had to say. They weren't rejecting us. They were rejecting the Lord, and they were rejecting His gospel. And a lot of us were fearful about that when we went out. What if somebody says no, or what if somebody just ignores us? And that happened a lot of times. So there's a lot to learn through being rejected, through your message being rejected and people turning away. But we are so thankful for those who trusted Christ as Savior. And I had a full-length message here, but I'm going to cut it down to 30 minutes. In John chapter 15, this is about fruit bearing. And that's what souls are. They're a part of the fruit that we bear. Of course, we're just God's instruments. He has to do the convicting and He has to do the saving. But He allows us to be His fruit pickers, I guess you'd call us, as we go out and reach people with the gospel. He talks here about every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. This is verse 2. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now there are those who bear no fruit. Remember, Jesus saw the fig tree. It was a time for figs. Or it wasn't the time for figs, but there were no figs on the tree. And that tree did not bring forth any fruit. He gave the parable of the sower that went out to sow. Four different kinds of soil on which the seed fell. And three of those soils did not bring forth fruit. So there are those who are unfruitful. Then he talks about those who bear fruit, that they're purged or they're pruned, that they may bring forth more fruit. God desires for us to bring forth fruit. He desires for us to bring forth more fruit, that we're not satisfied with that fruit that we have had the opportunity of picking. And then he goes on and talks about much fruit. Look in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And that ought to be our desire for each of us. Yes, that we'd be fruit bearers, that we'd be able to pick that fruit that God allows us to pick. But we'd always be seeking to pick more. Not that we're interested in just counting numbers, but every soul without Christ, as we know, is going to perish. And it should be our desire to see as many of those rescued from eternal torment as God would bring to Himself through the gospel, through the work of the Holy Spirit. And over in verse 16, Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." He says, "I've ordained you, I've commissioned you to go and bring forth fruit." We don't need to go to New York City to be fruit pickers. There's fruit to be picked. There's fruit to be harvested right here in Greenville, South Carolina. Yes, New York is a different place, and the opportunities there are unnumbered. But they are here as well. And if we desire to bear fruit for the glory of God, really have a heart's longing for that, I believe God will give us the opportunity to do so. We know that there are those who must plant the seed. There are those who water the seed, who nurture the seed. And then there are those who have the opportunity of reaping the harvest. Bobby and I talked to one man in the park one day, and he said, "Well, somebody talked to me about this same thing last year." So he had received that message before when the team was there last year. He hasn't yet accepted Christ as his Savior. But we had an opportunity to water that seed that had been planted. We had an opportunity to nurture that seed that had been planted. And maybe if the Lord tarries and a team goes back next year, and of course there are people going to New York all the time to do this, someone else will enter that park and find that man, and he'll be ready then to receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Our big concern now is that the fruit that was reaped will remain. Now, these folks are truly saved. Certainly, that fruit is going to remain. But we want them to do more than accept Christ as Savior. We want them to do more than be saved. We want to see them grow in their knowledge of God. We want to see them be used of God to reach others. Everyone that accepted the Lord, and even some who didn't, who gave us their names and addresses, and again, we don't know now whether those were true names and addresses at all. I believe most of them were. But they gave us their names and their addresses, and in many cases, they gave us their phone number. So a little Bible study introductory lesson to a Bible study is being sent to all of these folks. And we're going to be trying to call as many of those as we can, of those that we had the opportunity of leading to the Lord in our group, to call them and ask them if they got the Bible study, encourage them to do that first lesson. It's very simple, to return it, and then there will be additional lessons that will come. This will be a means of growth for these people, of them not only accepting Christ, and say many of those had not heard the gospel before, and they need to have more of the Word of God. Where we could, we gave everybody either a testament or a Gospel of John. We had some Spanish testaments. We gave those out as well. We had tracts in different languages. But would you pray with us that the fruit that was picked there in that New York endeavor would really grow, it would remain for the glory of God, and that these people might be used to reach others for Christ. With the millions of people that there are in New York, we didn't change the city much. It's still the same. And all of us could go to New York for a year and do what we did, and probably we wouldn't change the entire city very much. But there are individuals in New York now that have been changed by the power of the gospel. And that's the thrilling part of it. There are people that have been changed, and they in turn can be used of God to change others. But we have an opportunity to pray that this fruit will remain to the glory of God, that these people will grow in their knowledge of Christ. And I trust that the testimonies tonight perhaps have spoken to your heart about the opportunities that are before you right here where we are, to go out and talk to people. Yes, you'll be rejected by some. You really will. But that's a part of growing, and that's a part of, maybe in a very mild way, suffering for the cause of Christ. None of us, as Kelly said, none of us got beat up, none of us got mugged or robbed or anything like that. So any opposition we had was very minor. And we're not going to receive a lot of real wild opposition here in Greenville. But there will be those who will reject the Word of God. But there are people out there who are hungry, just like those people in New York City, who will receive the gospel if we'll take it to them. Some of you are involved in going out and calling on the new move-ins. Others of you, I have taken a section of the city where you're trying to visit every home in that area and at least leave a track or information about the church. But there's a lot of opportunity for others to do the same thing. And you can go by the ministry center tonight or after any service and pick up materials there to go out and to be a witness for Christ. And every one of us can have the joy of leading others to a saving knowledge of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for the opportunities that are put before us, and we thank Thee for the opportunity of having the trip to New York this year. And we thank You for those who received Christ as Savior, for the changes that took place in the lives of us who went. And I pray that those who were saved will, Lord, be more than Christians, that they will grow in their faith and in their knowledge of Thee. We think of our teen team that's up in Nova Scotia, also involved in reaching people there in a very difficult place. Now we praise Thee for Chris Hess and the years that she has labored. And while she has not seen a great number of people turn to Christ, yet she's had a Christian impact upon that community in a number of ways. And as our teen team is there to help her this week, use them in the ministry to boys and girls, that many of them would come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And while we have the folks down in Dominica and the folks at St. Vincent and the folks out at Ironwood who may not be directly evangelizing, we know, Lord, that You can use them for Your glory, and we pray Your blessing upon them. Now watch over us as we go and help us this week to be open to the opportunities that you present to us. And Lord, we know that you are more desirous of us being a witness than we are desirous of witnessing. And because of that, you will use unusual circumstances, as we heard about tonight, to send people our way. But Lord, we can't just sit and do nothing. We must seek to do the best we can in reaching out to others. For Jesus' sake, amen. We're going to sing a closing song here before we go. Number 530, Rescue the Perishing. And that's our job. That's our task. Would remind the deacons of the brief meeting back in the conference room as soon as we're dismissed. Let's sing all the stanzas of 530. Let's think about what we're singing as we sing it. This matter of rescuing those who are perishing, not for time, but for all eternity. Let's stand together. After we sing this song, we'll be dismissed.